Yeah. For everybody who's been here on the original time, thank you for joining us on time and early. For everybody that came a little bit later, thank you for being here. This is hopefully a very interactive and very lively discussion, because what we want to do is to talk about in Africa and for Africa. This is organized, but not more, organized by a group of Microsoft employees that are part of the For Africa initiative. In fact, I will quickly do a little bit of self-advertising. Can I ask my colleagues who happen to be in the room and part of our team stand up, please? Come on, Jiba, everybody, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. There we go, thank you. There are a couple of them missing, but they will later come in. So what is For Africa? As you hopefully know, Microsoft has been on the continent for over 20 years. We have a long history of being engaged in Africa. But 4 years ago, and in fact our anniversary starts this month, so we're celebrating our fourth anniversary, we felt there is a place and a time now in the development of Africa as a continent where there's an incredible historical opportunity to help Africa grow into a very different kind of member of the global economy and the global family of nations. We believe the time is now where Africans can participate in a very productive, innovative way as part of the world economy. And in fact, hopefully today, we'll talk a little bit more about what it means to be African, grow on the African continent and beyond that, and what the relationship looks like. My name is Lutz Iop. I'm part of the For Africa team. We are focusing on three areas: affordable access, innovation, and skills. We will touch on them throughout. And I have the pleasure of writing owning the skills part. So what we want to accomplish today with the wonderful panel that we have of four representatives, all four of them have started a business or in the midst of growing a business that we would say is rather unique to the continent. We will talk about the opportunities and challenges and how they are progressing to get started, what kind of role technology and technology disruption plays for them, and so forth. We will definitely leave time, the last 10 to 15 minutes, for your questions and comments as well. So as we go through it, please note your questions. If you have other opinions or whatever, let's surface them. We are a big enough group to have a lively discussion, and we're small enough to be able to talk to each other. So without further ado, let me get started, and we'll start actually at the tail end with Mike. Mike, why don't you introduce yourself briefly, and especially the way that you came to the point where you are today. So who are you, and what did you do before you even started your own company?
I was sitting on this side hoping that you'll start asking questions from that side.
And that's exactly why I reversed the order.
So I'm caught. My name is Mike Mutungi, and you know, my background, I studied at University of Nairobi. I did engineering, and but right now, I am in development. I work for a non-government organization, but I also run several companies, and one of them is a technology company that uses iris as a unique identifier.
Perfect. Thank you for joining us, Mike.
Thank you.
Kate.
Yeah. Good evening, all. Kate Kiguru is my name. I'm a software engineer. That's my background. I run an IT company called Ucon, and we build mobile and web platforms to help manage mobile and decentralized workforces. Started in the security industry in Kenya, and then moved on to start engaging with NGOs and marketing firms and other organizations in different industries.
And before you set up your own company, what did you do?
Before I started, I worked with a technology company that developed softwares for banks called Tracom Kenya. Some of them, you might know them. And I was developing apps on POS terminals.
Great. Thanks for joining us. Izina.
Yeah, so Izana Rastrick, I'm the managing director of Africa 108, originally from Ethiopia. I'm an engineer too. We provide visibility solutions for SMEs, so to help them get online. Before founding Africa 108, I was in the corporate world, so around the world. I was at Procter & Gamble for many years, in the media business for many years, was in mobile telecom,
And
then decided that it was the right time to set something up myself.
There's a bit of a theme developing, I see here. And then Sam, last not but least, thanks for joining us, Sam.
Okay, I'm Sam Wanjohi. I'm the founder of Popote Payments Limited. So before this, I studied civil engineering. I worked at a civil engineering consultancy for a while. And I got into business, and I founded a company in interior design. And basically through that journey, I found that there was a lot of difficulties I faced as a business owner that technology could solve, but the solutions weren't there. So that's how I ended up getting into technology and founding Popote Payments, particularly to solve the problem of allowing businesses to pay everything digitally and helping them with their expense accounting.
So let's go. Thank you for joining us, Sam. Let's actually reverse order, start with you now. Tell us a little bit more about what your company does, and maybe also give us an indicator of the size that your company has reached by now.
All right. Yeah, so our company is basically, you can think of Popote Payments as the M-Pesa for businesses. So what we do is we provide an application that's both web-based and app on mobile that allows our payments to be done totally digital by every business, such that an accountant could initiate a payment from the office. The business owner might be at the office or might not even be at the office. So they can approve these payments and they go out, and then the system does the expense accounting automatically. So one never has to bother really about doing accounting. So essentially, that's what we do. We've just come out of a very successful pilot where we saw about ₺1 billion in transactions from our pilot customers. And we are now launched as of this month, so you'll be seeing a lot more. So it's still early days for us, but that's where we are at the moment.
Excellent, good. Yeah. Izana, same for you. Tell us a little bit more about your company and also comment a bit on the size of your company.
Yeah, sure. Essentially, for those that live in the region, we'll identify those that are visiting. You'll find that if you're trying to do a search for a vet, or any type of local, it's very difficult to find. It's easier to find a vet in London, you're sitting here, than it is to find one for Nairobi. So essentially it's a content gap. So there's people have mobile penetration connectivity, but content is not there. So businesses are not available or are not found online. So we put together a product that we call a starter pack. It's very low cost, but it's managed by professionals. So in a very short period of time, we can find a business, we do interviews, photography and all that, and do it at a very affordable price point for SMEs and do that at scale. So we have a database of about 350,000 businesses. Of those, we've converted about 1,000 into customers for our starter pack. And then, the way we position ourselves is as a digital CMO for SMEs. So for businesses that don't have a marketing person, we provide a solution. So right now, in our starter pack, we have about 1,000, and we're looking at a whole suite of products.
Which countries are you operating in?
We're in 3 countries. We're in Kenya, Uganda, Ethiopia. We want to be in more countries. We're about 60 people across these 3 countries.
Okay. I forgot to mention, Sam, which countries are you operating in right now?
Just Kenya at the moment.
At the moment, right?
Yeah.
Okay, Kate, same. A little bit deeper into your company, size of the company, and maybe also geographical spread at this point in time.
So we started out as an app. Some of you might remember if you're in the industry. It was called YouGuard, and it was basically an app to keep track of mobile workforces, specifically security guards, by having them check in using a photo, and we would pick the location information and the date and time, and we use that information to mark their attendance, because they're paid based on their attendance. But when we built the first version of the app, the industry wasn't ready, and when I say wasn't ready in 2011, we know how that mobile phones were still so expensive for security guards to afford. And also for the platform to work, you needed to have a supporting backend, like a good HR system where I know all my 10,000 guards, I have a photo, I can match them against, and I know where they are so that I can be able to match them. So when we approached some of our potential clients, they didn't have such a platform, the supporting backend, but they were ready to work with us to build that. So we started building the backend, and I was the only employee then, and I spent the first 6 months after I started the company within a security company, learning what a HR does, what a supervisor does, what a payroll person does, and then build that platform. And then even after we deployed it, I stayed on helping them before they could adopt the platform and then move back to mobile. Then that evolved years on to the problem wasn't just the security companies. We have NGOs, we have a lot of marketing firms with salespeople out there in the field. And the problem wasn't just attendance. they wanted to not just know where they are, but to collect real-time meaningful data. And we partnered with one large experiential firm, and they helped us understand that model and build a survey feature into the same tool that allows collect for flexible data, and then later on moved into understanding data, making it meaningful, and for that we use Power BI, we integrated with Power BI. So our platform is basically helps automate the entire organization end to end, from HR, payroll, analytics, and the mobile platform helps link now the mobile workforces. We started out in Kenya, and then in 2013, one of our clients challenged us to go out to Nigeria, because a lot more people had mobile devices that they could use, like the staff had devices, and they told us, go out, and if you're able to make the solution work in Nigeria, we'll give you access to our other markets. They are in 9 countries. So we went out to Nigeria, we used Nigeria as our test platform for the survey feature, and it turned out well, and from Nigeria moved to Ghana, then to Uganda, Tanzania, so as we speak, we're now in 8 countries, and that has been through support of our existing clients.
The size of your team today?
Oh, we are a very small team. We started out, as at last year, we were 7, and then we got in 3 more interns, so now we are 10 plus the entire of Microsoft. So Microsoft has been amazing. We are a very small team, and we've not been able to do that without the support through the For Africa team. So it's my 10 plus Microsoft.
And I can promise you none of her statements or any other statements have been bought, encouraged, or in any short health announcement. Mike, tell us a little bit more about your endeavor. You are not a startup in the same classical sense, and maybe give us an idea of size, geographical spread as well, and so forth.
So the organization is called I Choose Life Africa. It's a non-government organization. We are 80 full-time staff, about, we keep changing, but it's about that. And we reach, our target group is the youth. So we reach about 1 million young people every year. In Kenya, we are in 23 counties, about 50% of the country. We are richest also in Uganda. And 2 weeks ago, we got registered in the US. We were very happy because Trump became the president, and so of course we want to have a great America, so we are part of the US now, so we are very happy about that. And so what we do, and I don't know whether you are aware that according to the Kenya government, 30% of Kenyans were never born, they never lived, and they will never die. They're just not anywhere in the records. Are you aware of that? It's a fact. So that's problem number one. They don't get birth certificate. They don't, you know, they just never appear anywhere in the record in the national government system, which is a terrible problem. The second problem is that we work in the education sector. The government sends capitation once every term, and we know there are about 14 million kids. There are supposed to be 14 million kids in the education system, but we also know that 2.3 million of them are go students. Just never existed, but they get support, they get good, you know. So because of that, that was a problem as we identified, because we're in the education sector. And the key problem was unique identification. How do you identify every single child in the education system? So we developed a technology that uses the iris as a unique identifier. You know, your highest biometric is DNA, which is close to 100%. Your iris is about 99%, and the sample which we'll be using for elections in August is about 60%. And I can tell you, it will fail. So all their names, you know, Esther present, Wadera present, they just look at a camera, and the data is immediately relayed to the principal, to the county government, to the national government, and to the president if need, so that everybody can have real-time data with regard to actual numbers in class in the whole country, and they can be able to make decisions. We've just done that in one county in Kenya. We collected data from kids from standard one, 244, and that data automatically is relayed now to the national government systems, and everybody can be able to make a decision based on the actual numbers in the system.
Wonderful. So the conference is all about Next Tech Africa, about technology in Africa. Opportunity, what holds us back, how does it drive business, and so forth. Let's go now one step deeper into technology and the African contents. And maybe you already touched about it, Mike. We'll stay with you and then go back up the panel again. What would happen if I took technology away from you today? I'd say, do your business without technology.
I would get withdrawal symptoms. I would be very lost.
Yeah, impossible, really.
It would be impossible, yes.
Tell us a little bit more. How do you think about digital transformation? Is it more a transformation? Is it a disruption? Is it both? How does it impact your own business? Let's start with the own business. So talk a little bit more about technology and your own business and how you look at it, the dynamic, and what it means for your business.
So it's an enabler by and large, because it means that I'm able to communicate all the time. I'm at home, I'm able to get emails, make phone calls. Instead of having a staff meeting, you can be on WhatsApp or. So in a way, an enabler enables me to get communication frequently. It's also a disruptor to my life, because then it means that people can reach me all the time. I'm getting messages coming in all the time. So I think it's a bit of, and I know that because as a CEO and my staff, one of the things you have to keep worrying about when people come into the meeting, their phones are up, and you have to keep telling them, turn down your phone or leave them where you are, because again, it disrupts the meeting.
Okay. Quickly, what technologies now to reach to create a product and reach your customers? What kind of technologies do you use? Already you talked about iris recognition. Any other core technologies that you use?
For work?
Well, and to create your product and to create your services for the customer.
Yeah, so we use a lot of Microsoft products because we're in the education sector. And this particular app, we developed it ourselves. But then now we'll use Microsoft Cloud for storage because, we normally, you find students are in very remote parts of the country. And we find that is the most effective way of moving around data and information, and the most secure also.
Okay. If we may, Kate, same questions for you. Talk a little bit about technology within your own organization, disruptive, evolving, so forth.
I think technology sits at the core of our business, and I don't know what we would do if we took away that. One, all the way from development, we used, or we started out on Microsoft development platforms, and continue to build onto that. And for us, it's easy that way, because we are able to integrate into new products coming up. So we rely a lot on Microsoft developer tools to build our solutions. We host all the data that we collect on Microsoft Cloud. And that's the only way we are able to provide our platform to our clients in other countries. So if you take away Azure, it means we go back to probably deploying desktop solutions, which are expensive for a lot of organizations to afford, and also expensive to deploy. Mm-hmm. So it would mean like looking at having teams in every country where we're trying to do business. But technology has enabled us to reach out to those organizations. In all those countries where we are right now, none of my team has ever been. We do our trainings online. We've only been to Nigeria and Malawi. Everywhere else, we're either online and we're able to deploy and work with.
So let me get that right. Yeah. You are actually expanding across Africa without anybody really traveling there.
Yes.
That sounds scary.
Yeah.
Does it work for you?
Yeah, it does. And I think a lot is through faith that we build through the relationships with our clients. So they actually introduce it. So all we have to do is train their teams online. We've never had physical meetings. So we use Skype a lot. We are on online, we are on the web working with people. And also in terms of skills, that's the way we've been able to engage with Microsoft. We need help in this area. Don't have to get somebody to come out from the US. We are able to work with them.
I think, if you don't mind, Kate, I want to come back to skills and talent in a moment anyway. But just to be clear, even your customer service is being done remotely. It's done virtually, and it seems to be working for you.
Yeah, it does work for us.
Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Izana, same thing for you. Technology and how it drives, disrupts your own business, and then looking at your customers.
Yeah, I think it's similar in terms of story. We've always been reasonably ambitious in the view that we always thought that we're going to do something that crosses the continent. So building it on sort of a robust technology platform has always been, in terms of architecture, has always been a view of saying we're going to go from country to country and not rebuild things. So maybe two areas that we really use it, I think, or we wouldn't be able to survive if we didn't, is on the sort of the CRM side. So we work with SMEs. It's just like herding cats, right? They're all different. They all have their own needs. So being able to deploy a telemarketing team, a field team, and make sure that we've contacted a customer once, how frequently we contact. So managing the interface between the SME and our company, we wouldn't be able to do without a CRM platform and be at all efficient, which I think we can do better. But I think that's one part. And the second part is because, again, we're working with a very price-sensitive target group, we have to make sure that we can deliver a product at a very low cost. Mm-hmm. So using cloud, so we're all hosted on Azure, being able to flow content from the SME to, we have a photographer, content person, the actual developer, designer at the end, to be able to flow through that process at low cost and reasonably quickly requires that we use everything on technology. We also make sure that we can do work remotely, so a bit like what you do. So for example, we work in Uganda, a business that we sign up in Uganda, the content will be collected locally by a photographer, but the design will be done in Nairobi. So being able to move work where it needs to be, I don't think we'd be able
to. So what needs to happen locally, like taking the photos and you name it, obviously is done that way.
Yeah.
But then everything that you can shuffle into the cloud, you're trying to do so.
Absolutely, yeah.
Sam, same question for you. Let's go a little bit deeper in technology in your company.
All right. Okay, so our company is called Popote Payments. Popote, as you might know, is Swahili for anywhere. So a basic underlying big thing that we're trying to do is really allow our customers to operate from anywhere. They don't, a business owner not be in the office to be able to make and manage payments and all that. So the cloud has been incredibly important to us. The technology on Microsoft Cloud, our application is completely hosted on the cloud. This means our developers can work from wherever they are. We are never worried about being down. Doesn't matter if our offices, the light went off, the generator goes off, our clients are still going to be able to access our services. So for us, the technology we use in that way is incredibly important to us. And at the same time, that we're also trying to impart that same transformation to our customers business-wise to enable them to never have downtime in their payments. Even if the business owner is in a hospital bed or on holiday, they are always able to make their payment function instantly and easily.
Yeah. I want to stay on technology for a little more, and then we get to business opportunity and skills as well. Some of you say Azure, some of you say cloud, some of you say Office 365. Let's try to sort it out. Actually, I don't know the answer to the following questions myself. Let's see. All four of you, I believe, are using Azure. Is that true?
Mm-hmm.
So Azure is in all of your businesses. Mm-hmm. Who of the four of you is using Office 365 as a cloud solution for productivity?
Yeah, we are.
One? Yeah. A little bit, Kate, yes? I would call that 2 1/4. Who uses CRM online? Nobody.
We use CRM. We don't use.
Yeah, we'll come. Yeah, come. Yeah, yeah. So everybody uses Azure. Some of you use Office 365. Nobody today uses CRM online. Very interesting. So we have a lot of Microsoft engineers around here at the conference and decision makers. My favorite question for you guys: pick your one or two products of capabilities that we have that you just go, thumbs up, Microsoft. Well done. And then immediately, pick your one or two things where you go, guys, you have to be better. You have to roll up your sleeves. And in this case, I ask for a volunteer. Who wants to go first?
I will.
Okay, go ahead.
So I think not to be the devil.
And I hope that the first answer has a positive, the first question has a positive answer. You have at least one product you like. Let's try. Let's go.
Azure for us, and Einstein's our head of product over there. It's definitely been a product and platform that's scaled the way that we have. So we've been able to engage the resources that we require at the time that we require them. So as it was expanding markets, make sure we only use the capacity that we need. So when you combine Azure with the BizPark program that we benefited from, certainly what we needed was exactly there. So we're big believers, and that's,
One or two sentences on BizPark. Most people will not know what it is.
So BizPark, we were enrolled in. It's a program that gives access to SMEs at a very favorable rate. Mm-hmm. In fact, I don't know whether we pay or not.
And if I can add, is BizPark is our program that helps startups to get access to our technology both on-premise and in the cloud. And in fact, for a period of time, you can use all technology for free as well.
Yeah,
and then you grow
program.
Out of it, yeah.
It's a fantastic program. For us to try and figure out what we actually need, it's been a ramp for us.
So Azure, yes. BizSpark, yes.
Yeah, so absolutely those would be the two. And then the one that we struggled with is because we're part of this, we actually did try to use the CRM platform, because we knew that is core to our business, but we never managed to get our hands around sort of dynamic, or the sort of the price point was challenging, just learning which of the modules we engage with. So we ended up using a much simpler platform that's available online. So I would say in terms of the area that we actually did try, but didn't, and maybe that's our shortcoming in terms of really exploring what the platform can do, we never managed to get a Microsoft solution for our CRM.
So homework done for us, one way or the other. That technology solution didn't work for you, or you couldn't discover how it would work for you.
Correct.
Yeah, good. Who wants to go next? Kate?
Yeah, I'll go next. I think my best is Azure. The two biggest ones is Azure, and then Power BI. That's the Microsoft business.
Can you maybe spend one or two sentences on, or show of hand, and if you're not a Microsoft employee, who knows what Power BI is? I think we need a very brief statement.
Yeah. So Power BI is Microsoft. It's Power BI is Power Business Intelligence, and it's the platform that you use to analyze and visualize data. So, and I think some of you have can relate to the new term, data is the new oil. And I don't think any business runs or makes, I don't even understand how businesses used to run without meaningful insight. So I got to find out about Power BI after a lot of pressure from one of our clients that was collecting a lot of data, but they couldn't make sense out of it. You know, you collect, and I tell them, now you can export to Excel, but I never took them to think, why are they collecting that data? And I had to start learning, and I struggled, but eventually ended up realizing it's one of them. I love Power BI. I can't even begin to express the emotion.
So Azure, yes. Power BI, yes.
Power BI, yes. And then on the other side of development, I'm learning and I'm struggling with Xamarin. I'm not surprised some of the panelists didn't hear about it until today. And it's Microsoft's cross-platform where you develop one app. It's a platform where you develop an app, then you're able to deploy it across iOS, Android, and Windows. So you have one project that you're working on, and instead of having three projects as we've had to do, it's a game changer, but it's taking a lot of time to learn, and we need all the support locally. So it's an awesome tool, but we could use a lot of help with that.
So you need more help from us, visibility, discoverability, those kind of things.
Yes.
Before I hand over to you, Mike, is Power BI is, by the way, one of my favorite products as well. Everybody needs to run reports, right? Or you have dashboards, you name it. I love showing Power BI, and I'm sometimes scared. I literally have seen developers almost in tears when I show them Power BI, because they look at the stuff and go, you're just telling me that the last 6 months development work that I've done. You know how that goes. It is literally like a PowerPoint in an incredible capability running on every platform. I'm not picking that up. I saw the tears in people's eyes. They go, I wasted 6 months of work. I could have just plugged the thing in. Anyways, I'm digressing a little bit. Mike.
So Azure is, we use it a lot and we love it. And you pay as you go, so it's financially it's it's very good for us. Security-wise, because of the sensitivity of the data that we handle, biometrics for young people and students. So it's very good also for the government. They feel like their work is very secure. But I would say one thing more we can improve on in Asia, and this is a response time. Because I think when you ask a question, it probably goes to somewhere in the US, mm-hmm. and then takes a few days to get back the response. So how you can improve on that is that we can be able to get those responses from Kenya, and they have a much shorter time.
So you're unhappy with the latency, the technical term currently?
Yeah, that
doesn't work for you yet.
The turnaround time for response.
Good. Thank you for sharing that with us. And last but not least, Sam, the good and the bad. We stop before the ugly.
Yeah, okay. So the good for me, I think it's everyone has said it. The cloud, the Microsoft cloud, which is called Azure, incredibly useful to us. We are also on the BizSpark program, which allows us to access a lot of things free for a period. So I'd say that's really important. And most recently, Microsoft has actually availed a consulting company to us who they are paying on our behalf to see us through our growth, our early growth of the company. So this is hugely valuable to us because we couldn't probably engage this level of consultant ourselves right now. And it also allows us that not to have to employ those particular skill set within the company. So go to market, growth, investor readiness, and all these kind of things. What I might want improved is, you know, on the Microsoft Cloud, there's so many applications that you can make use of, and sometimes maybe discovering which are useful is a little bit difficult or tedious. So maybe a little bit more of engagement with the experts to listen to what we're trying to achieve and say, chances are we could use ABC rather than, you know, just the ones that are easily known. Because there's just so much out there that you could literally run every aspect of your business, or a business like ours could probably run 100%. Mm. But we need to discover all these tools.
Yeah. So in summary, I think what you've heard is literally every size of a company, we have relatively small, right? Less than 10 employees to, I forgot my number of employees.
80.
So up to 100, right? So that's the size. And frequently we find ourselves in discussions where people go, yeah, I kind of know what Azure is, but it's for the big guys, right? It's for the global corporations and you name it. And I think the opposite is the case. I'm not sure whether you would agree. In fact, because you get the tools of the big guys, you can pretend to be much bigger. You act much bigger than you are. Is that something you would agree with? So it, really something that I find quite insightful. Let's talk a little bit more, and some of you picked on that already. We are claiming, we are arguing, we want to be your partners for growth, right? It is in Africa for Africa. We really desire to do anything we can so that new businesses can prosper, can hire more people, can create wealth. Tell us a little bit briefly of where you engage with the company and what kind of support, in addition to technology, we were a little bit technology focused, you find helpful. And we were ended on Sam, so we go back to Mike. Mike, where did you get support from Microsoft, and what did that look like?
Well, we were just joking with Alex because he was saying now he works for Choose Life. And actually, you had breakfast in my office yesterday morning. So,
so we help you with breakfast. I'm happy that we established that.
Yeah, but